How many of you are thankful for the cross? Man. There we go. Well, I'm so thankful for the cross and thankful for what Jesus has done. Don't want to take that for granted. Want to walk with Him. Want to continue to grow in Him. How many of you are still in journey and you're still getting better? All right. How many of you are not perfect just yet? How many of you proved that today or this week? You know, we're going to be, on these Wednesday nights, we're going to kind of be going over some of the same things on Sunday morning about the vision. And if you come on Sunday morning, I hope you will still come on Wednesday night. You know what I hope you'll do? I hope you invite somebody to come. This is an incredible time to bring somebody who's like, I'm not sure about that Hillview Church and what's good. This is the time to bring them because we're going to tell you exactly what we're about here and what God is up to. But even more than that, to challenge you that the church is not the building, it's not the steps, the altar, the chairs, any of those things. But the church is the body of people who are followers of Jesus, and we are the church. And so really it's kind of tough to say I'm going to church because you are the church. You are the church. And so we kind of make up this local body called Hillview Heights Church. And just want to share just a few things about what Hillview is about. Let me just say just a couple things. Next Wednesday and the following Wednesday, we're going to be showing footage from what's done on Sunday morning. Because I know a lot of you work on the weekends, and this is when you're a part of church, is on Wednesday night. And so we're going to be showing some footage, and there's a lot of hilarious stuff. And the video teams worked incredibly hard to put some things together. So we're going to be sharing those things with you these next couple of Wednesday nights. So you want to come and be a part. But I also like to use this time as a time of clarification. Because I want you to know, if you are looking for a perfect church, it does not exist. There is no such thing. If you find a perfect church, all you really have is a building with nobody inside of it. Because, hear me with love, because once you walked into this place, it was no longer perfect. Once I walked into this place, it was no longer perfect. Because you know what? We're not perfect. You ever said anything you regretted? You ever done anything you regretted? You ever behave in a way that later you're ashamed of? Because I'm not usually ashamed of myself right away. Takes me some time and pressure. And then finally I'm like, I am ashamed. I want to encourage you. I love this church. I wouldn't tell you that it's the greatest church in the world. That's not my place to judge that. But I want to tell you, I think we have a phenomenal congregation. I think we have a phenomenal staff. And let me preface that by saying this. And there are some other really great churches in this town. Does everybody hear that? Some other great congregations, some other great pastors. And I want to say that because I want you to hear that. Because I don't think Hillview has a corner on anything. All right? Because whatever's done, the Lord has done. Okay? Everybody with me on that? But I want to talk a little bit about what God is doing here. And I'm going to use tonight. I also want to clear up some things. I want to make some clarifications about what it means to be the body of Christ. When you're a pastor, a lot of people talk to you about church. Some of them have good things to say. And some of them do not. And you always meet somebody who knows they can do church better than you can. And as a pastor, you're humble and you're gracious and you're thinking, well, who couldn't do church better than me? I'm a worm trying to do what God wants me to do. But I'm going to start tonight. I want to read kind of an isolated text and tell you that's why I am excited about what God is doing here and why I'm passionate about you not being a spectator to what God is doing, but you being a part of it. So I'm just going to kind of cut into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 17. So I'm skipping some real important stuff, but the point is, I'll make the point. How's that? After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. There is a climax to everything that we are doing here, and that is that Jesus is coming back again. He's coming back. You can write it down. He is coming back. And when he comes back, all of us, there'll be an account taken of our lives. And if you are a follower of Jesus, you will be saved by the blood of Jesus. And the Bible says that if you're a follower of Jesus, you will be rewarded for your obedience in this life. Now, I'm not going to pretend to even begin to fathom what that means, that you're going to be rewarded. I've probably shared with you before that some people say you're going to get a crown and it'll have so many jewels in it because of all your obedience and faithfulness. And I don't see how that works. You know, because like I'm going to be up in heaven, I'm going to have like a half of a ruby or something, you know, in my crown. I'm just thankful to be there and just thankful to, hey, I got a crown. Thankful it's got a half a ruby on it. And then some of you are going to walk by and I'm not even going to be able to look because of all the bling in your crown. So I don't know how the reward thing's going to work, but I do believe the Bible. And it says we're going to be rewarded. And so I want to live my life faithfully. Because I want to tell you, not only is it a privilege to be a follower of Jesus, there are expectations and responsibilities. And if you're a follower of Jesus and you're not busy about the Lord's work, you're missing it. You are missing it. So God, I can't find anywhere in the Bible where he says, go to church and sit there. I know somewhere there's got to be a verse that says, go to church and critique everything. Because like almost everybody's read that verse. I shared with you before. I mean, it's like on the same Sunday morning, somebody comes and say, hey, it is so cold in here. You know, I'm sorry. You know, my coat. I mean, you know, what can I do for you? And then somebody else is behind them and they're like, it's hot in here. You know, or the music's too loud. What's going on with these people? Or I can't hear nothing. You know, and just like, let's pray. You know, and it's church. But one thing I'm really excited about, this church has a vision. We call it C3HD. How many of you ever heard of C3HD? Well, in the skit last Sunday, somebody said, C3HD, that sounds like a disease. And one of the characters said, yeah, I think my great aunt had the C3HDs one time. And, you know, it's just kind of some humor. And then somebody finally says it's an abbreviation. It stands for something. And so we have C3HD. And the first thing, the first C, because there's how many? Oh, wait now. I got to make sure everybody's awake. How many C's are there? Great. And the first one is a connection to the cross and the resurrection. Very first thing. We make no bones about what our church is about. We are about seeing people come to Christ. So one of the number one complaints I hear from people, it just seems like every time y'all preach on Sunday or Wednesday, it's always about people coming to Jesus. How do you respond to that? Because I've learned the improper ways. Hello. Apparently the Lord wasn't honored in that one. Or duh. Glad you know the alphabet and can put it all together to make words. You know, anyway, those are not appropriate. But that's what this church is about. Do you know, like of all the things we're commanded to do, there is one of them that we can't do when we're in heaven? Anybody know what that one is? Anyone? Everybody's looking at me. Some excitedly said, tithing, we can't tithe in heaven. I hadn't thought about that one. You're probably technically right on that one too. But, you know, we're not going to be sharing the gospel with people when we're in heaven who don't have Jesus. And that's what our commission is on the planet. To go ye therefore and tell them and teach them and to baptize them and let them know that there is indeed a Savior. And I remember one person, they were really upset and said, that's like all you guys talk about. We got it already. And I asked, so how many people have you led to Christ this year? And no lie, they were like this. They were like, none. And I said, I guess we better keep preaching it then because you haven't caught it yet. A connection to the cross and resurrection. Do you know why we're so passionate about that here? Because we believe there's no other hope. There is no chance for you unless you have a relationship with Jesus. He's the only hope. He's the only one who can take all the stuff that you and I messed up and forgive it so that we can stand perfect before God. He's the only one. And so we believe this, of all these connections, by far the most important one is that people get connected to the cross and the resurrection. And can I tell you something really excited about that? The most exciting thing about that is every one of you already knows somebody who's not connected to Jesus. Every one of you already knows somebody. And if anybody said here, I don't know anybody, you're lying. And we'll talk about that in another sermon. But every one of you knows somebody that's not connected to Jesus. And can I be honest? They could care less what I think about Jesus. They could care less what Pastor Steve thinks about Jesus. They want to know what you think about Jesus. Because they already love you. They already care about you. They already believe most of what you say. And for you to tell them, this is what Jesus means to me, would change so many people's lives. Everybody look at me. Some of you are thinking, that's a really great message for everybody. That message is for us, for every one of you. I mean, if you would just share what Jesus means to you. You don't have to go to a training course. You don't have to memorize a bunch of stuff. You can just tell people, this is what Jesus means to me. Some of you have been through really tough things. Tell them how Jesus got you through it. Some of you like almost lost a bunch of stuff and Jesus came in and saved the day like he always does. And you can tell people about that, and they desperately need to know, because if you cling to anything that you think is hope and it's not Jesus, you don't have any hope. And that's why C3HD begins with a connection to the cross and resurrection. And we say that all the time. Somebody told me, he said, you know, I think the preaching and teaching ought to be a lot deeper than it is. I'm just blown away by that. It's like people just admitting how shallow they are. Somebody said, I think on Sunday morning or Wednesday night, the teaching ought to be very deep. And I said, but last time I checked, we don't call that teaching time. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think we call those moments, Wednesday night and Sunday morning, we don't call them teaching time. Or we don't call it time for you to get deeper time. Or we don't call it you time. Anybody else have anything else funny? Because apparently none of those were funny. Guess what we call those moments? Worship. And we didn't come to worship what you wanted. And we don't come to worship what I want. That's why we have Walmart and Target. Because if Target doesn't have what I want or it's not the right price, I'm going to Walmart. That's not church. That's not how we do it. Are you ever not going to like something about this church? Yes, you can get in line. There's things I don't like. But guess what? It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And so we call Sunday morning worship. And guess what happens here every Sunday morning? The Bible says that if Jesus would be lifted up, then all people would be drawn unto him. So guess what we do every Sunday morning and Wednesday night? We lift up the name of Jesus. We don't lift up my name. You don't come and hear any courses that say, Jamie. Don't count that as an audition because I haven't practiced. So, it's worship. And so we're going to lift up Jesus. And that's why we call it worship. And so if lost people come, and can I tell you, there's a ton of lost people that come to this church. And guess what most of them act like? Lost people. Most of the churches I served in said, now if you people will kind of clean up your language a little bit and act a little bit better, you know, then you can come to Jesus. But that's not the Bible. The Bible says you can't help yourself. You can't get better on your own. And so you got to come to Jesus, and then he'll begin to do that work in your life. And the Bible says that he who began a good work in you, he's faithful to complete it. He's faithful. That he's going to complete the work that he's begun in you. And so the vision begins by saying that every person needs to have a connection to the cross and resurrection. And I want you to know, I don't apologize for that. And I know Pastor Steve doesn't apologize for that. Because we know people need to hear Jesus. And so this person asked me, okay, so I'm already a Christian.
So what do I do on Sundays now?
Worship. Lift up the name of Jesus.
Well, there should be some kind of challenge when you leave for the week, you know, something to encourage you. I think I hear it almost every week. Your neighbors and families are going to hell. Tell them about Jesus. That's a pretty incredible challenge. Let me ask you this. How many of you have shared what Jesus means with you? Don't raise your hands or anything. Just answer this in your own mind. How many of you have shared with somebody in 2006 what Jesus means to you? I mean somebody who's not a believer, and at some point you shared with them, this is what Jesus means to me. Now, I want to be really gracious here, but I want to be really challenging. If you haven't done that, then you're not listening to what God is saying. Jesus is the only hope for the world. And if we are not sharing Him with people, you know, that Paul asked in the book of Romans, how are they going to know unless somebody tells them? And you know what the answer to that question is? They're not going to know unless somebody tells them. So this vision begins with a connection to the cross and resurrection. And we don't apologize for that because we believe that Jesus is the only hope for the world. And I want you to know, if you are a believer and every sermon we preach was about how to get saved, the Holy Spirit could use that sermon to do a work in your life. You know why? Because it's God's holy word. And you never grow beyond a point of that word. That's always an important word for us. The second thing is to connect people to other believers. Maybe we call it fellowship. But it's connect people to other believers. You know why? Because we're in this together. And can I just tell you, this is by far the most difficult part of being the people of God. It's the most difficult part of the vision is that we have to come together. There are some of you who don't like others of you. I love it. You're looking across the way like, yeah, there they are. Some of you pointed up here. Sorry. But that's a tough part of this vision, that we've got to come together. And I really want you to hear me. This is not a perfect church. And if you want to get out a magnifying glass to find things that are wrong in this church, you probably don't even need a magnifying glass. Because we're human. And we're here together. And you know what I told somebody in the previous church that I served? Somebody said, do you know how many things are wrong at this church? It's awful. It's like you aren't trusting God. I said, but wait. You feeling like you have to do something to make things right is you not trusting God. Has God ever allowed a wrong to go undone? It's not a rhetorical question. I'd really like your personal opinion on it. Has God ever allowed some kind of injustice to stand? Has He ever? And the only possibility of you saying that maybe He has is because maybe God's timing hasn't come to fruition yet. But He's going to make it right. And sometimes, we move your purse just for a minute. Is that dollar yours? And sometimes, sorry, spit. I'm so excited. And sometimes I'm waiting like God's getting ready to make this right. This is going to be awesome. And then God makes it right and reveals that I was the one who was wrong. And that's a bummer, especially when you've gathered a crowd to watch that with you. Kind of like I gathered a crowd to watch Ohio State obliterate Florida. Security. But God's timing is always perfect. He's always exactly on time. He's never too late, because that would be bad. But listen, He's never too early, because that would be bad. He's always right on time. And can I tell you something? He is trustworthy. So somebody always tells me a story every week. Well, you know, so-and-so shouldn't be in our church, because they use drugs. And I say, what? You're kidding. Do they cuss too? Uh-huh.
Are they on staff? You know, you gotta ask that, you know, because God's just working on us, trying to make us better. But we have to trust God. He's the one we have to put our trust in. You know, I mean, if you were really honest, you know, and you thought about this place called Hillview Heights Church, and you started thinking about things, no doubt you could think of something that bothers you here. But we're still to connect to each other. We're still to be connected as the body of Christ. I mean, listen, if you're not connecting with other people, you are missing what church is really all about. I heard an incredible story of a pastor who said there was a couple in the church who had a baby, and the baby did not have very long to live. And things were so hopeless that they allowed the parents to take the baby home because there was nothing that could be done. And basically what had happened when the baby was born, instead of a face, there was just a hole. And it was just going to be a matter of time. And so the pastor, and this is a pastor of a gigantic church who is very confessional about his inability in a lot of social situations, if you can imagine that, you know, for a pastor. And he said when they had their time of invitation, that couple came down the altar holding that baby. And a pastor said he was just freaking out inside because he's thinking, what do you say? I mean, how do you comfort folks in that situation? How do you love them? And they got to him, and he put his arms on him, and he just very confessionally said, I got to be honest, I don't know what to say or what to do. And they said, oh, we're not here for you to say or do anything. We just wanted you to pray with us. And they pointed to the back, and there was like 30 people standing in the back, and they said, that's our group. Those are our people that we hang out with here at church. And they've already said what needs to be said. And they've already done what needs to be done. So, Pastor, if you would just pray with us, that would be wonderful. But we don't need anything because those people are seeing us down the road of this journey. And some of you are struggling. And you know what you need? You need people to walk down the road of this journey with you. And that's what being a church is all about. And it's fun as a pastor to go to the hospital to minister to somebody. When you get there, you can't even get to the room because there's already like 35 people in the hallway, and the nurses are all mad and the doctors are all mad and are always like, are you another Hillview Heights person? And that's always fun because that means people are caring for each other and they're walking with each other. And every one of you should have a group like that. And so I never buy into it when somebody says, well, Hillview Heights is so big, you know, it's hard to find people to hang out with. It's like saying nobody goes to that restaurant anymore because it's always packed. You know, I mean, you'll get that in a minute. Yeah. But, you know, the point is there are plenty of people here, but you've got to have a willingness to connect with people. And there's going to be a group of people here for you. And there's like athletic people, and there's, you know, like the people I hang out with. And there, I'm okay. And then there's like really smart people, and I can probably get their numbers somewhere for you. And they hang out together, and there's like crazy people. And, you know, a lot of you, that's your group, and so that's good. And then you have these people, and there's just lots of groups here, and there's music people, and there's people who love to serve together, and there's like 20-somethings, and 30-somethings, and 40-somethings, and 50-somethings, and, you know, 60-somethings, and there's like 70-somethings at Hillview, which people can't hardly believe. There's like 70-year-old people here on Sunday morning worshiping. It's so fun to watch them worship, man, because, you know, they're not clapping on beat, but they are worshiping God, and it's exciting. It's fun. Well, that some of you aren't on beat either, and you don't have no excuses, you know. But we're the body of Christ, and we come together. And can I tell you this? Sometimes we come together in agreement, and that's always the funnest time, to come together in agreement. Sometimes we come together in disagreement, and you know what? That's okay. That's okay. We can come together that way. This God is gigantic. He's huge, and he can overcome those disagreements and those differences. And if you're breathing, you're going to have some. That's just par for the course. But don't isolate yourself. Be connected to the people of God. Will you do that? Look, everybody's looking at each other first like, man, if they will, I will.
We have to do that. That's what it means to be the church, to come together and meet each other's needs. How awesome is that? Sometimes those are physical needs. Sometimes they're material needs. Sometimes they're social needs. Sometimes they're emotional needs. But we come together. And guess who always meets the need? God always meets the need. But you know what? You know why we're the church? Because He desires to use me and you to meet those needs. It's still Him, but He desires to use us to be the church, to be the people of God. It's so important. It's so important. And I want to encourage you with that. And I'm going to say one other thing. This may be controversial. You can email me, scarborough@hillview.com. Oh, never mind. I want to give you an encouragement. Because when you really look at what the church is and what it's supposed to be, we're all together, and let me come up here so you can really hear this. We come together, but there is this deal in the church, and I said this last week, I think, that we are all under authority. We're all under authority. And so, like, I meet people all the time who are like, yeah, I go to 7 churches. Well, you can't do that. Biblically, you can't go to 7 churches. You may go attend, like, 7 different buildings. But whose authority are you under? Because if you're under God's authority, then that means you're under the authority of a local New Testament church. And that's just how it is. And people say, well, I like the worship over here, and I like the preaching over here, and I like this over here. It's not about what you want. Go get under authority. Root yourself in one place and say, God, I'm here whether it rains or it doesn't rain. I'm here whether it's feast or famine. I'm here whether I like everything or if I don't, but I want to be there. And somebody told me, they said, well, we feel like God wants us to leave the church for a little while. And I said, well, you haven't heard from God. And they said, well, what do you mean? How could you know that? Because if God wants you to leave this church, you'll leave crying. And you'll leave heartbroken. You won't leave with a list of 7 things that were wrong. Because God won't let you leave unless you're at peace. Everybody remember that? To be at peace with all people as long as it depends on you. So if you've got 7 issues with the church, you can't leave. You've got to find peace in those things. And so you can't go. Some people say, you can't know that. I can know that. Because if you're mad at somebody and leaves, then you're being unbiblical. Because if you're upset and have a problem, you're supposed to deal with it. Welcome to the grown-up world. Welcome to the biblical world of discipleship. And folks, hear me, please. You're going to have disagreements and you're going to have issues. And let me say this, you're going to love this. And you may be right, but it's not about you. It's about you being obedient, saying what needs to be said, doing what needs to be done, and then trusting God. Do you really trust Him? Do you really trust Him? Because people have come to Keith's office and my office and Pastor Steve's office, and they've come crying. You know why they've come crying? Because they felt like God was moving them to another place, and they were heartbroken over it because they loved what God was doing here. But anytime people say, I have 7 issues, well, you know what? Just take your issues to God and then pray and then be a biblical disciple. The third thing. Everybody got that? I would say, are there any questions? But if there's questions, email me. All right? The third thing is a connection to the truth of God's Word. That we got to be in the Word together. And so on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, when you go to Bible study, I mean, this is God's revelation of who He is to us. You can come, Keith. This is God's revelation of who He is to us. And we've got to be in His Word. How are you going to know about this God if you're not reading the Bible? How are you going to know what He desires of you? How are you going to know about these expectations unless you're spending time in the Word? And can I tell you, there's no substitute for His Word. And whoever your favorite author is no substitute for the Word. And so we've got to spend time in the Word. And people always ask me, well, what's a great book to read? The Bible! It's incredible. And some of you say, I have trouble understanding that. Then read a little bit and close it and pray and say, God, give me understanding. God, help me to understand this word that I've just read, because I want to know you and I want to know your word, and trust that he will do that in his time. He'll give understanding. He really will. But we've got to be people of the word if we really are followers of Jesus. And so it's a connection to the cross and resurrection. It's a connection to each other, to one another in fellowship. And it's a connection to the truth of God's word. And that's the C in C3HD. But you know what else we're about? Healing. There are things that all of us need to be healed of. How many of you would admit that tonight? There are things I need to be healed of. Almost all of us. But you know what? God is faithful in that healing. That's one of the things I love about the altar. And you know, I always struggle when we get close to altar time. Because you know what? It's really my desire that all of you would just come to the altar and say, God, here I am on whatever you want from me. But you can't do what I want you to do. You have to hear from God. But the altar has been such a powerful place, you know, for healing. But can I be really honest with you? God will heal you right where you're sitting. And I'm talking about all kinds of healing. Somebody may ask a question. So you believe God still heals people from illnesses and diseases? Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of times I find a doctor attached to that too. That God gives a doctor wisdom to know. But it's emotional healing. Some of you still are struggling to be who God wants you to be because of things that happened long ago. You know what? Do you know that it's God's desire to heal those areas in your life so that you would be a full disciple in what he wants you to do? That's his desire. So then let me say this. Because I have found at Hillview, this has been an incredible place for people to come who really, nobody else really wanted them. And they come here and God does a healing in their life. Can I tell you, you know what you're supposed to do after you get healed? You become an agent of healing. That's what you're supposed to do. All right? That doesn't mean you can heal people. That means that God can use you to be a healing agent in people's lives. So some of you have been through horrific things and you've been healed of those things. Well, you know what? Now it's not time to sit down and be a spectator. Now it's time to really get involved. Because you know other people that are hurting. And for you to begin to pray for them and to share with them about how God healed you. And people forget that. And so that's when people get really holy and really righteous, is when they have forgotten that, man, now I've got to tell this story to other people of what God's done in my life. Whenever God heals you, he does it for his glory. Does everybody got that? Everybody with me on that? When God heals you, it's for his glory. So that means you have an obligation to share what God has done in your life with other people. And it may not be on a stage like this. It may be in the backyard with your neighbor. It may be with a coworker at lunch. But in some other place, that God will use that. But don't forget that. Don't forget that what God did in your life, he did it because he wants to use you to be a blessing. And finally, the D is for develop. Somebody told me, said, you know, sometimes if I'm just doing one thing, you know, I don't feel like I'm being fed, or I don't feel like I'm growing like I should. And I always ask them, well, are you in worship? Are you in Bible study? Are you in prayer? Yeah, the big five. If you're missing any of the big five, we're telling you up front that you're not going to grow like God wants you to grow. Does everybody understand that? And can I tell you what? The big five is not a Hillview thing. It's a Bible thing. And whatever church anybody's at, they ought to be involved in the big five at their church. And every one of those are vitally important to you becoming the person God wants you to be. And if you're missing any of those, and so many, listen, there's no excuse not to be involved in Bible studies. There's like 40 Bible studies here a week. And you ought to find time to be at one of them. For a lot of us, it's just a matter of getting up a little bit earlier on Sunday to be at Bible study. But you need to do that. You need to do that. You need to have an active prayer life for you to develop. And you know why we've got to develop? Because it's God's desire for you to be a player in his kingdom. He wants to use your life, but your life has to be totally submitted to him. Your life must be bowed to the cross of Christ. As we have a time of altar, I want to ask you, everybody just look up here just for a moment. How many of you could really say with full integrity, and just answer this to yourself, how many of you could really say tonight that your life is bowed to the cross of Christ? How many of you could really say that you're living your life for the glory of God? Because I want to tell you, your life is not about you. Your life is about God. And God just doesn't desire to bless you. He desires that your life would be a blessing to others. How many of you, your life is really bowed to the cross? How many of you are really trusting Him? And I have no doubt tonight, some of you are struggling with very legitimate, very, very reasonable things. Maybe even things that you're right about. But Satan is using that thing that seems so right to prevent you from being who God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do. For this altar tonight, two things. I think if you could honestly say tonight that your life is not bowed to the cross of Christ, I'd ask you to come to the altar tonight and bow your life to the cross of Christ. Just come to that altar and bow your life to the cross of Christ, saying, Lord, I want to be all that you want me to be, and then trust Him to do that. And here's the second thing, and it goes back to the first C. Some of you here tonight don't have a relationship with Jesus. And I want you to know that He desires to have a relationship with you. And He's willing to forgive you, to save you, and to seal you forever so that you can spend eternity in heaven with God. And He can do that. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, He can forgive you. And if you're here tonight and you know you don't have a relationship with Him, Pastor Mark's here, I'm here, Pastor David's here, nothing would thrill us more than to pray with you tonight to know Jesus as your personal Savior. Some of you need to come for that. And some of you just need to come tonight and bow your life to the cross of Christ. Let's stand together. The altar is open. You come.